All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I found this little bracelet. I don't know, it's a kid's bracelet. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, I said before, if you're going to build a church, if you're going to manage a church, if you're going to teach people in church, you don't need to go by 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is what you don't do at church. I saw several times I've seen churches named Corinth Baptist Church, and I thought, no, I don't think I would have named it. I don't think I would have named it that. This church was messed up. But God had a purpose for what all was going on, and God had the Apostle Paul write them a letter. Now, last time we talked about in chapter 1 and 2, we talked about divisions in the church. Now, you know as well as I do, if you've been around very long in church, that most churches have a lot of division in them. And he talked about, you know, one's of Paul, one is of Apollos. And churches will get that way. This little crowd will follow this woman, this little crowd will follow this man, that little crowd will follow this group, that little crowd. And it'll divide up your church. That's why the Bible says that we're to be of one mind. Now, there's a lot of things we'll differ on. A lot of things we'll differ on. And there's some things you ought to differ on. Me and my wife differ on some things. If we didn't, one of us would be strange. Well, there's a lot of that going on too, isn't it? But this church here was divided. Now, chapter 3, we'll just read the first three verses to start off. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, that was the condition of that church. It was a carnal church. Now, just in case I didn't know what I was talking about, I looked up the word carnal in a Bible dictionary, and I know it has something to do with the flesh, and it means fleshiness. Or another word would be worldliness, because the flesh likes everything in the world. And those are the things that appeal to the flesh. Those are the things that please the flesh. And he said, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual. He said in verse 1, but as unto carnal. And you know, if you live in the flesh, that's what a baby does. Everything's about them. Babies are carnal. They can't help it. All they know is the flesh. And so they've got to always have their way. But if you think about it, it's just the opposite of spiritual. Carnal, spiritual. Two complete different things. The two cannot go together. Either you're carnal or you're fleshly. Now, you can't be a worldly Christian and be spiritual, because the flesh does not like the spirit. And so the spirit has to overrule the flesh. Y'all still with me? And if you're carnal, that means you're still living by what the flesh wants. Now, there's all kind of sins of the flesh. But he says in verse 2, they were still like babies on milk. He said, I had to feed you milk. Now, baby is a very immature human being. Would you agree with that? Help me, class. Okay. A baby is very, but because it's so immature, it's also pretty helpless too. Somebody's got to take care of it, because it can't take care of itself. Now, that baby is not grown enough that it can take anything that would be hard to swallow. Would you agree with that? If you feed it food, it's going to be what kind of food? Baby food. And somebody just threw that big word pureed up there. Mashed. It's going to be mashed. You know what mashed is? That's what you do when you get on the elevator. You mash the button. That's a joke. Okay. You mash the button. You don't push it. You mash the button. So if a baby's going to eat greens, you got to mash them. If it's going to eat corn, you got to mash it. It's got to be a mushy, easy to swallow. Wouldn't you agree? When my kids were babies, they drank Pablum. Pablum had so nourishment in it, and they could drink because they couldn't eat. But we'd get them to eat baby food. And I felt so guilty making that poor baby eat out of that jar of mush green beans. It looked like somebody done eat them one time. And you put it in their mouth, they spit it out. You put it in their mouth, they spit it out. And you continually... And that's exactly the way carnal Christians are. You keep putting it in their mouth and they're spitting it back out. You're putting it in their mouth and you got to take your Bible and grab it and push it back up in there and grab it and push it back up in there until finally they swallow it. Because they're carnal. Now, they can't take the hard things of God. The meat is the hard things. Now, I'm a grown man. I got good teeth, thank God, and Dr. Culp. I got good teeth. And dental insurance. And I got good teeth. And I like to eat meat. Amen. Now that's not all I eat. My favorite meat, and y'all ain't never going to believe, my favorite meat, hot dogs. I'd just soon have a hot dog as a steak. I would. I love hot dogs, man. I ate two tonight. And I love hot dogs. But now I can eat steak. Yeah. And if a man cooks it, you're probably going to have to cut it with scissors or something. It's going to be so tough because you're going to cook it fast. But I like meat. Do you like meat? I like all kinds of meat. But when I was a baby, I couldn't eat meat. Now, the meat of the Word, if you try to shove some of the deeper things of God on carnal Christians, you know what they're going to do? Just like that baby. They're going to cry and they're going to fuss because they can't take it. They get choked on it, spiritually speaking. They get choked on it, the deeper things of God. And because they were, I wrote down here, they were feeble people. You know, a baby's feeble, can't do anything for itself. And it still drinks milk, and it whines, and it cries because it's helpless. Amen? There's a lot of Christians like that. You wouldn't believe what a pastor has to do. Now, he's got one group over here, and boy, they're hungry for the meat of the Word. They've been studying the Bible. They've been living the Bible. They've been seeing the experiences of the Bible. Give me more, give me more, give me more. And then you got a group over here, and they can't quite eat steak yet, but they like bologna. You can give them some bologna and some old hot dogs, you know, and they're just as happy. It's better than nothing. But then you got this group over here. They ain't even that far. All they need cornbread and milk. They can't eat cornbread. You got to put milk, mash it up for them, you know. Then you got this other group over here. They can't eat anything solid. You have to give them a little milk. And if it ain't John 3:16, they get confused. Amen. And you talk about deep things of God, doing something for God, living for God, trying to be holy, and all those things. They get easily offended because now you've shoved the meat on them, and they can't take it. They get easily offended, and they're kind of feeble. Turn to Hebrews 5:12. Most of you already know it. This is why they can't take it. In verse 12, he says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so you put something on Facebook about smoking pot, and the babies get mad at you. Of course, they're the same ones that do a little other things too, you know. And they get mad at you and start saying bad things. You quote Romans 1 about a deviant, perverted lifestyle, and the poor little old baby hadn't even learned to eat toast yet, so he's going to get mad at you because they don't use it enough. Look, in order to do something good, you got to do it over and over and over. And in order to know the Word of God, you got to read it, and you got to read it, and you got to read it, and you got to read it. And the first few times, it's hard to swallow. There's things in the Bible that hurt my feelings. And a lot of times I read it and I just have to say, oh me, instead of amen. Come on. But I don't want to go back to the milk. Now give me a little bit of milk and get me started off, but that ain't my main course. I want you to bring a little cornbread over there, and before we're through, let's get some steak. Amen. Amen. Don't just give me. We'll start off with milk, but don't leave me with milk. I'm gonna go home hungry if you do. Boy, you go to some of these churches, they give you a little milk, and then they take some bread and sop it in the milk and give it to you, and you leave there and you think, well, I knew that 30 years ago. I'm way past that. I'm hungry. Let's go find another church. Now, they were feeble. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? If you are, we got a nursery. Ephesians chapter 4. Sister Patty will come help you. She'll burp you a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that's why he gave you preachers and teachers and such. I got mad one day. I posted something. Some little punk said something. I said, look here, I've been saved longer than you've been living. Matter of fact, I've been pastoring longer than you've been living. I've been studying my Bible longer than you ever thought of being a Christian. Who are you to criticize what I just said the Bible said? But now that's what we're for. Pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists. We're here to help people. And by the way, you're an evangelist, and sometimes you're a preacher, and sometimes you're a teacher places you go to. And we're here to help the body of Christ, that it will, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, he says in verse 13. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is even Christ. Now, there it is. We ought to grow up. And this church in Corinth was full of divisions because it was full of immature Christians. And they were following men instead of the Word of God. Now look, I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor, I'm going to try to tell you the truth the way I see it. But don't you follow me, you follow Him. You follow the book, amen? Now the Holy Spirit will tell you whether or not I'm telling the truth, because I'm going to use the Word to do it. I don't understand people why they want to be men followers. They'll see some guy on television, they'll send him every dime they got. Yep. And the poor church down the road, old preacher been trying to preach his heart out for 40 years, they don't have no respect for him. But you got this little old guy that walks over on the stage with his skinny jeans and his high top tennis shoes he ain't learned how to tie up yet. And they'll listen to him. You know why? He's pouring the milk on them. That easy stuff. That easy stuff. Somebody said, you believe in easy believism? I do. It's easy to believe and be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord, ask Him to save you. That's easy. Amen. It'd be the hardest decision you ever made, but it'd be an easy thing to do. I do believe that. But you know, I've been saved a long time. Let's go a little bit past that. I went to a preacher's fellowship one time, right here in Rock Hill. Must have been 25, 30 pastors there. And this guy got up and he preached on Jonah. How Jonah run from the Lord and how people are running from the Lord won't get saved. And after it was all over, I looked at the preacher next to me and I said, well, he caught me in 1978. I done heard all this. I know this. Tell me what to do now. I know how to be saved. I've been saved a long time. But he was pouring out milk to all them other guys. I went down there to get me some steak. I went home hungry. But they were fussers. Look at verse 3. They were fussers. In verse 3, for you yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's a sure sign in the church that is full of carnality, is they fuss with each other all the time. Envy and strife. Let me tell all y'all something. I'm going to reveal, this ain't a new revelation, but it may be a revelation to you. Me and you ain't no better than anybody else. We're saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, taught by the grace of God, led by the grace of God. What have you got to envy? You look at people and say, oh, I wish I was good as them. You are. You say, well, I can't dress like that. Well, pray. Get God answer your prayers. Pray. Yeah. Well, you know, they're in a higher economic level than I am. Well, pray and ask God to give you more job, more money. Every day me and my wife pray, say, Lord, give us health and give us wealth so we don't have to worry about those things and we can serve you and not have to worry about those things. And God does it. But I don't envy anybody. Amen. You way farther than I am, but I don't envy that. I just thank God I'm in line. Amen.
Yes, sir.
People serve the Lord. I don't envy people when they serve the Lord. I admire people when they serve the Lord. And I say it sometimes. Somebody fussed at me the other day, said, you need to quit saying, you're not the best preacher in town. And then he added to that, he said, what you ought to say is you're not the best preacher in town, but you're not the worst either. But I don't envy preachers. I thank God. I love to go hear a good preacher. Amen. I love it, man. And I don't envy them. I admire them. I love to see good Christians. I don't envy them. I admire them. For somebody to get a church office or a church position, you ought not envy them. You ought to admire them. Say, thank God they got it. God sent that person over here. They were just fussing all the time. Envy and strife. Well, you sitting in my seat. You ain't got no seat here. There ain't no reserve seats here. On Sunday, people come in late and want to know why somebody hadn't saved them a seat later than you. And they come in late wanting to know where can they sit. My wife said, tell them to come to Sunday school. They'll get a seat. Oh, fuss. Had a song leader one time. He walked up to a visiting preacher and his wife. He didn't know he was a preacher. He never would have done it. He said, it's good to see y'all. But you know what? Me and my wife always sit here. You're going to have to move. It was on John Street. There wasn't 20 people at a Wednesday night service. And he had to sit there. That preacher told me that. I said, I'll take care of that. I told him, I said, look here, buddy. We don't reserve seats here. Your name ain't on nothing. Now, we'll not have strife. I don't think we do here. But the bad thing is, I'm the pastor. I'm usually the last one to know. And usually they tell my wife or they tell me. But I don't think we have any, Brother Dan. If we do, I'm going to hire you to take care of it. Carnal Christians who don't read the Bible like they ought to they don't pray like they ought to, they don't love like they ought to, then therefore they're like little babies, and I got the most beautiful granddaughter in the world. Most of you seen her on Facebook, that little red hair with those little pigtails. She looks like one of the Who Village people, you know. And Mary Lou Who, you know, she's got that little high voice like that. And that sweetest, most beautiful little old girl. But you let one of her brothers or her sister get something, and she'll look over and see that guy, and she'll walk over and she'll say, "Man!" And snatch it, just hard she can snatch it. Because she's a baby. Yeah, a lot of Christians like that. That's my church. Well, that's my choir. Well, that's my. Once you grow up, this is our place. Amen. It's ours. And we're only under His. It belongs to Him, and He let us run it. Amen. Preacher Coley preached a sermon one time, "Us and Them." You remember that? "Us and Them." I wish I could find that sermon, man. It just thrilled my heart. But anyway, I got to hurry up. Man, you're not mad at me, are you? But they were fussers. They were babies, like all babies fuss. Look at verse 4. "For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' another, 'I am of Apollos,' are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe." In other words, he's saying, they're just the preachers that preach the word that you received. "Even as the Lord gave to every man." He said, the Lord gives everybody somebody to preach to them. "I planted," that's Paul, he said, I preached to you, I planted. I told you how to be saved. I told you how to get right. And Paul said, "Then I came along and I watered it." He sprinkled it with some more words. Apollos didn't save them. Paul didn't save them. And then he said, it's God that gave the increase. Yes. Don't you ever come up to me and say, "Preacher Ron, you saved me." I'm going to look at you and say, "You look like one I probably saved. You need to let the Lord save you." Right. Amen. Because if I save you, you're going to be lost. Now, I'm not of any man, I'm of the Lord, amen? And look, these people was arguing over every little thing. He said, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." The Sunday school, the preacher, one. The deacon, the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, one. The choir director, the Sunday school, the pastor, the deacon, one. Piano player, organ player, sound man, people that just come once a week. It's all one. Yes. Verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry. That means garden. "And you're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Now, the Apostle Paul saying, look, it's just grace of God. He saved me. It's just grace of God. He let me preach. It's just the grace of God. I came here after Apollos and watered what he'd already preached. In verse 8, he said, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive a reward," he said. "His own reward, according to his own labor." Now everybody in here has got a labor. And everybody in here does the labor that God gave you will receive a reward for the labor you did for Christ Jesus. And nobody can take that from you. You don't have to be envious of them. You don't have to be jealous of them. God didn't call everybody to be a foot. You might be a nose. You might be a finger. I don't know. You might be a mouth. I don't know. But you'll get a reward for whatever God's given you to do if you'll just do it and quit being a baby and say, "Well, I don't want to be a hand. I want to be a foot." "Well, I don't want to be a nose. I want to be an eyeball." No, you'll never. That's the way babies talk, see. You take the Word of God, the milk of the Word, you drink the milk of the Word, you get saved, you start to grow in grace, somebody else comes along, gives you a little milk plus something, maybe some cornbread, you drink that and eat that, and you grow a little bit, and somebody else comes along, gives you a little milk, cornbread, and bologna, or steak, or whatever it is, and you grow a little bit more, and it's not them that grew you, it's Him that grew you, and they were just doing what they were called to do. Man. You know, every church, well, the church I got saved in, it's still there. The building's not. The people, it's a whole different everything now. But it's still there. But all those other churches I've been involved in, they, most of them gone. But that doesn't deter me from doing the work that God's given me to do. See, God made me the husband of something. He's the husbandry of my... I'm His husbandry. That's the way it goes. I'm His garden, and He's using me, and He's planting in me what He wants to grow. So I'm following Him, and preachers can come and go, and churches can come and go, and friends can come and go, and all these things can come and go. But see, God keeps watering me, and He keeps feeding me, and I keep growing, and I keep sharing it with other people. And I'm not jealous of you if you can win more people than I can. I'll clap for you. I'll praise God for you. I'm not jealous of you if you can do music. Lord knows I can't do it. I'm not jealous of you because you can... my wife, in a lot of ways, as far as organization, my wife's a lot more intelligent than I am. I don't have any organization. I'm that squirrel that ran out in front of you this morning. I was over here working today. I was in there, and I come out here to do something. I thought about it. I went over there and did something. I come back out here to do that, and I thought about it. I went back yonder and done something. I come back here, and I thought, what was I supposed to be doing? So I go back in there, and I start reading again, and it comes to me, and I get up, and I come in here, and I, but wait a minute, I got to do something up here. So I came up here and got something, and then I went back yonder again. And I, well, some of y'all bad as I am. Huh? Oh, I went home tonight. I was fixing to get supper, and she's talking to me about cheese. And I had one glass of tea left in the pitcher, and so I put my glass up here beside the sink. And she's talking to me about cheese, so I take the tea and pour it down the sink. I had that much tea left in my glass. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for people around here that organize stuff and do things, I don't know where we'd be. Amen? Down the drain. And I'm not jealous of that. Matter of fact, I like the way I am. Leave me alone. I enjoy being like this. I'll go in there and sit down for 15, 20 minutes about all I can last sitting in one place. If I had to stay sitting... Well, when I was selling insurance, they'd make me go to classes. I'd have to sit there hour after hour after hour after hour listening to boring and stuff. I wanted to get up and leave so bad. And then whenever I went to sell insurance, they gave me a desk. And he said, but we don't expect you to stay here. I said, you ain't got to worry about that. He gave me 5 pages of people's names, address, and phone number. He said, call these people and make an appointment and go see them. I said, I ain't calling nobody. I'm going to see them. But that's the point. I'm not jealous of you, Holroyd. Thank God you can do what you do. I'm glad you're here. I've done without a lot of things because I can't do them. We're all supposed to be doing the same thing. We're giving milk. We're giving a little bit of cornbread. We give a little milk, cornbread, and meat. We might even throw a little dessert in there every once in a while. But hey, we can't all do everything. And there don't need to be any strife in here. But I don't like the way they've done that. Well, as soon as you come up with a better way and you do it, then thank God they're doing it. Some of y'all done learned something about me. I used to be people come to me and they say, preacher, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And I try to do everything. I learned this. I don't do that anymore. I'm too old. And people say, pastor, why don't we do this? I say, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't you do that? If God laid it on your heart, you do that. I won't get mad at you. I won't hate you for it. Amen. I'll say, praise God, you can do something. There shouldn't be strife in the church. And if somebody comes up whining and whimpering and belly aching, you'll look at them and say, sound like you got the colic. You must have been drinking cold milk instead of warm milk. Go talk to the preacher and get him to give you some warm milk. You've been drinking that cold milk, you got a belly ache, you can't take it. Serious. We don't have to put up with that stuff. I don't want it. Now, look, we do have a nursery in this church. This is one. Yeah. We got people come here who are babies. And I understand some people are babies. They haven't been saved long. Some have been saved a long time, but where they went was just a nursery. That's all it was. It was a nursery. And now they're coming here and they're learning how to eat. And I know babies fall and they stumble. I know that. You know that, don't you? You did. We all did. But we got some people that eat meat here too. And those are the ones that know what they're doing. They've been around a while. They've been up the road and back down again. They've read the Bible. They've studied the scriptures. They've had spiritual experience. And it'd be good to listen to them instead of telling them what to do. But these were carnal people. Let's don't have a church like that. Now, we ought to have some babies. We ought to. We ain't doing our job if we don't have some babies. Now, I'm talking about Christians who are not mature. We ought to have some. We're not doing our job if we don't, because there's nobody new coming in. And we ought to have some just a little farther along and some just... But we ought to have some that are mature. And see, if you keep that going, the mature help the little less mature, the little less mature help the babies, and nobody gets fussy or the colic. So you bring them in, I'll preach, we'll get them born again, make babies out of them, and then we'll teach them a little bit and make teenagers out of them, and then we'll teach them a little bit more and make middle-agers out of them. And then we'll teach them a little bit more and make senior saints out of them. Amen? I don't want to be a baby. I've been a baby. My wife would tell kids, she'll tell adults too. She can't take whining. When you quit whining, come talk to me, she says. Don't whine. I used to aggravate my kids. There was a cartoon that would come on, a little boy and a little girl. No, it wasn't a cartoon. It was like a video. Some of y'all might remember it. And it was a little girl and a little boy, and their name was Whimper and Whine. And they'd sing, whimper and whine, all we ever do is whimper and whine. Let's don't be whimpering whine, okay? Let's don't do that. All right. I hope you're saved tonight. If you're saved, you've got a lot to be happy about. Amen? And keep coming. We'll feed you whatever you need. Don't get too grumpy. If you get the colic, go see Brother Rudy and he'll burp you. Put you over on the shoulder and